If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 20, or yeah, no, wrong one. I'm going to go to Luke. The Palm Sunday message is in all four of the Gospels. Luke 19, maybe. I don't think it's going to work, babe. I think the Bible's too heavy. There we go. Thank you, babe. Luke 19, chapter 19, we're going to read from verse 8. And if you want to, you can put your marker in Psalms somewhere. Let's see here. I'll be going over to Psalms just real quick. Psalms 118, if you want to put your finger at that, that's fine. If not, I'll give you a chance to find it. I hope you have your Bible with you this morning. I'm not big on, as you can probably tell, I'm not big on overhead projectors. I want people to read from the Word of God. I mean, I love reading it up there too, but I think it encourages us to bring the Word into the house. Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28. Luke 19:8. I'm going to be reading. Finish up the chapter. When he said these things, he went on ahead going into Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethany and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say this: the Lord needs it." So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the young donkey, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying my donkey?" "The Lord needs it," they said. Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their clothes on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on it. And he was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. Now as he came near the path down from the Mount of Olives, a whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I'll tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." As he approached and saw the city, he wept for it, saying, "If you knew this day, what would bring peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children, you to the ground. Not you in their midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you." There's so much here. There's so much I could stop with any one of these verses, but the Lord has laid something on my heart this morning. I had a different message, as I always do. I had some people bring me some props, and I'll use them some other time. But the Lord has laid this message on my heart this morning. You know, Jesus, throughout his ministry on the earth, never sought attention. As a matter of fact, the majority of the times that he drew a crowd, as soon as whatever was going on, like when he went up to Galilee and he fed the 5,000, he went off and he got by himself. He wasn't after the fame. He wasn't after the money. He would when he healed somebody, he would normally tell them, "Go and don't tell no one." That's amazing. But this one time, and the only time recorded in Scripture, where he orchestrated a crowd, where he wanted people to be involved, was on this day, this Holy Week. And the reason it was is because God incarnate, the Logos God, God in the flesh was entering the city. And he knew what was going to lay ahead. He knew There's only a couple times where Christ openly wept. And this one time he wept. His heart poured out because he knew. In 37 years from that day, the Romans would besiege the city, tear down the temple, and kill 660,000 Jews in the city of Jerusalem to the very day. You know, they had, if you read in Matthew, I think Matthew, somewhere, 26 maybe, Jesus, they were the scribes and the Pharisees were planning on killing him. And they had made up their minds not to do it on the Passover. You know, the Passover, when they were told in Egypt to put the blood on the doorsteps in the form of a cross and that death angel would pass over them. That was a holy day that these Pharisees recognized. And they told them, don't do it. Don't do it during the Passover. It'll cause a riot. We can't do it on the Passover. Let's not do this. Let's wait till after the Passover. But God in His almighty power and His almighty knowing and His sovereignty, over 300 prophecies about Jesus was given. And today, every one of them are 100% correct. And He had to be sacrificed on Passover. So what did He do? He went and got that colt and He rolled it into the city. And what did the people say? Hosanna! Save me! Help me! You're the King. The first time He was acknowledged as the King. You're our King. You're Mashiach. The Messiah. We've waited our entire lives. Our grandparents. We've been besieged 53 times. We've been under attack. You know, we would get close to God and we'd run astray. And it sounds a little bit like some of me. Sounds like me. You're who we're looking for. And he rode that donkey in. You know, most kings, when they enter a city, they ride in on a big old horse. Matter of fact, the king had the biggest horse. The commanders of that army had horses just under the king. And the soldiers, if they were cavalry soldiers, horse-ridden soldiers, they had the smaller horses. He picked a donkey's colt. Probably his feet was dragging the ground in humility. Man, it's an amazing story, folks. But I ain't getting to the good part yet. I got the good part, the application for us today. But as he was riding in, the Gospel of Matthew, Lily, I thank you so much for your song, wherever you're at. The children were going ahead of him, waving palm branches and singing Hosanna. And the people, the disciples, they were caught up in the moment. They realized for just a brief, some of them, not all of them, what did the church do? The Pharisees. Now, I don't want to get really down on the Pharisees, because if you understand the history of the Pharisees, they were noble men. There was approximately 6,000 Pharisees in Jerusalem at that time. They were descendants of the Maccabeans. 164 years before the birth of Christ, the Syrians had taken over Jerusalem. They had come under siege. The Syrians were ruling Jerusalem. They had lost their God. They had made idols, and God had allowed these Syrians to come in. One of many, if you read your Old Testament. So 164 years prior to Christ being on this earth, Joseph Maccabeus had a revolt with just a small group of people. It's kind of funny how God does that. You know, He'll bring just a few Jewish people out to face the thousands. And they overthrew the Syrians and they kicked them out. From that group, Josephus started the Pharisees at that time. They were what we would call today the Republicans. They were the right-wing armor bearers. They were the ones that were the government of the people. But their government included, they didn't have separation of church and state. It was all about the church. It was all about God. So the Pharisees made sure that law, those festivals, all that stuff that they had given up under oppression all the way back throughout the Old Testament, they would keep those. They were holy men. But in 160-some years, they had got pious. Their wineskins had turned hard. You know, the Scriptures tell us, don't put new wine in old wineskins. It'll crack it. Can't take it. They had become that. When they walked through the city of Jerusalem, they walked with their heads down. Not to look up in case they would see something that would tempt them or they would lust after. They were into keeping all the festivals. They were keeping all the laws. They knew what the Scriptures say. They knew it was prophesied that He would come riding in on a colt. They understood. They memorized the Scripture. They knew what was going to take place. And then when it happened in front of their eyes, they missed it. I pray that don't happen to me. I pray it don't happen to me, brother. I pray it don't, because it can happen. We can get so caught up in doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Rituals. Tradition. Business is normal. And then here comes Jesus, feet dragging on the ground probably, on the old dusty ground, riding a donkey's coat. That speaks to me this morning, folks. That speaks to me. How in the world? If you go back into, let me see if I can find it real quick. I got a couple of these marked. Ezekiel 9. No, it's not Ezekiel. Where is it? Where is it? Here we go. Lily gave me a bookmark. Of course, it ain't the right place, but it's a good bookmark. Let me see here. I believe, let me go back to, I got it here somewhere. Zechariah. Thank you, brother. I got it. In Zechariah 9:9, it speaks of this, what just happened that the Pharisees missed. The Pharisees could recite Zechariah. They knew it word for word. They had read it. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Look to your king. Look, your king is coming. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And they watched it happen, and what did they say? Pipe down. Keep, don't say nothing, man. Because the Romans are watching. They were planning on overthrowing the Romans. The Pharisees were going to rise up and overthrow them. They were tired of them. They were tired of being under the oppression. They'd been there before. Their grandparents and their great-grandparents and their great-great-grandparents out of it throughout history. And they were going to overthrow them. But they wanted a king riding in on a stallion, not a donkey's coat. They wanted a king riding in the power of the human flesh, none of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I wonder if that's where our church is today. I'm speaking to me. I wonder if that's where our church in America is today. We want Donald Trump to be our president. He was a good man. We want Donald Trump to be our president. That's, you know, I heard that a lot. We want to take this by the horns, and we're going to go with it. We're going to shut our borders off. We're going to do all these things. And I'm not here to talk about that today, but I'm just going to mention it. Did we miss it? Have we missed the gospel? Have we missed the good news of Jesus Christ? Because it's not going to look like we think it's going to look. Apparently it's not. Because where we're headed is not good. I'm not giving Biden a pass. I'm not giving our government a pass because it's not good where we're headed. But are we going to be better off as a fellowship? Are we going to be better off as brothers and sisters in Christ if we're under oppression? I don't give a hoot if gas goes to $5 a gallon if it makes more people come to the altar. I don't care what my costs are. I don't plan on being here that much longer. My home is somewhere else. Praise God. My home is somewhere else. So what's that mean for us today? Okay, you've told us about a good history lesson. What's that mean? It means we got to recognize that we have Christ. We got to understand. We got to be able to see Him. He said, where two or three are gathered together, I will be with you. We got to understand that He's here with us today. The same power that raised Christ is living in each one of you if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Why don't we act like it? Why ain't we got people lined up throughout every county coming to this altar and being laying hands on them and praying for healing? Because you don't believe it. Don't believe it happens. I guarantee you 100% that every person that asks for healing from Jesus Christ has accepted him as his personal Savior, calls for the elders of the church to pray for them, they anoint their heads with oil, lay hands on them and pray on them, will be healed. Take it to the bank. 100% will be healed. I can't tell you which side of glory it's going to be on, but some of it's going to happen here if we have the faith to speak to it. Some of it's going to happen here. The ones that don't happen here, they're going to happen as soon as they get there. And I believe if we understood it, we'd function in it, we'd walk in it. That's a message for me. So we got to understand. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't pipe down, pipe down. Don't say anything. You're going to cause, we don't do that here. We don't get emotional. We don't act. We're stuck in our ways here. We have a way of doing things. We ain't the Baptists. How many people tell me that? Praise God. I'm glad of that. Amen. We ain't the Baptists. Nothing wrong with the Baptists. I got some great Baptist brother. I got one good Baptist friend. No. You know, it's that we can miss it if we're not careful. My point today is we can miss it. We can be looking straight dead at it. And the other point, I've only got two this morning. Come as a little child. That's what he told us. Don't grow up in your faith. I'm not saying don't mature in your faith. But be excited. Be excited at little Lily here and granddaddy and how that made granddaddy feel. You know Vern can't sing. I know he can't. You can look at him and tell. He's not, you know. He couldn't even get the thing to play on the, you know. Come as a little child. Are you saying, Bob, we don't need scenarios, we don't need theology, and we don't need... Yeah. I'm saying that. I'm saying that this morning. I've seen too many good preachers ruined in seminary. I come from a whole long line of preachers that got educated and weren't worth 50 cents. They wanted to please people. They wanted to tickle your ear. They were in it for the fame and the fortune. No. Come as a little child. Come expecting. Come excited. Come and run down the streets in front of Jesus every day. Get up in the morning and get on your knees and read your Bible and pray and speak with Him. And understand that that's your privilege. He's your Father. That's what I want you to take from Palm Sunday. It's amazing what we have. It's exciting. Don't grow up. Grow little. Now, will you mature in your faith? Most, I hope so. I hope we don't have a whole church full of babies. But I want the baby excitement. I want the young people. The scriptures tell us in places, out of the mouths of babies and suckers come the action of faith. Must be something to it. You know why? He knew we'd get pharisaical. He knew we'd get, you know, we wouldn't do that in front of people. We wouldn't cry in front of people. We wouldn't raise our hands and worship in front of people. We wouldn't come to the altar and ask God to guide me this week. I got something coming up this week. I can't make it without you in front of people. Because we don't do that. As a little child. Let's try it, folks. Let's do it. It's infectious. People are drawn to it. I can't. How many people has been coming by the raising of your hands? How many people coming on... Wednesday night this week, Thursday night last week, who knows what night, I am all messed up. But who's coming to the movie? That's my Jesus. Now, I don't know how much of that, I mean, I'm sure that's, you know, we don't know. But that's the Jesus I'm expecting to see. I'm expecting to see Jesus out in a pup tent, making door latches and toys and stuff like that, and little children come up and he befriends them and he says, man, you know, this is for you. This is your gift. I'm not expecting to see a pope as Jesus. I'm not expecting to see Dr. So-and-so as Jesus. You know, you put doctor in front of, I mean, that just blows my mind. Can you imagine somebody coming up and saying to Jesus, Dr. Jesus, because you've got all this? Look at the people he chose. He chose people like us. He chose people that weren't worth 50 cents. They were cheaters and robbers and running games, and he changed their lives. From the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, He made them new creations. He made them new creatures. That's what I'm talking about this morning. We don't have to stay here where we're at. I don't care if this church don't run but 25 people, 30 people. I don't care. It ain't about the numbers. It's about the depth. It's about, man, we need to have fun doing this. You know, we need to prepare for where we're getting ready to go. We need to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ and for our loved ones and our families that are not born again. Because they don't want no parts of what we're doing. It smells a little funny to them. And I get that part of it. There was years I didn't go to church. Years I didn't. There's some of you in here right now that ain't sure why you're here. You're here because we're serving a risen Savior. We're going to hear about that next week from Brother Kurt. We're here because He's alive and well, and He's living in me. That's what I'm talking about this morning, folks. That's what I want you to get. I want you to get it real good. I want you to get it. I want you to be excited when you talk to your grandkids. Be excited when you talk to your children. Be excited. You know, I don't care how many people they run in service. I don't care if they have six services a week. If it ain't about Jesus Christ, if it's about becoming a better person, you can take it and throw it in the landfill up here. Because that's what it is. It's garbage. If you serve Jesus, if you sell out to Jesus, if you get on your knees daily, if you pray and read your Bible, that's going to take place. If the light of Scripture shines on your life, you're going to give up surfing porn. You're going to give up drinking. You're going to give up running on your wife. You're going to give up cheating on your taxes. You're going to give up all these things that we so easily beset, Bob. Because the light is shining. I want everybody to get this, son. Pray big. Let's reach the world. Pray big. Don't dream big. This ain't a dream. Deal. Some of you this morning are sitting here and you've got physical ailments. You've got things that are not going well. You got a report from the doctor don't suit you. I just got all my blood work done and I got all my stuff done and I had a scan done and I did and I came out okay at 62 and a half. They said, okay, you're doing good. But you know, if I live long enough, that ain't going to be the case. This whole body's going to fall away. And doctor will say, wish I didn't have to tell you this. And there's some people sitting in here this morning with that. If not, we know some people are real close to us are sitting here with that. We got some people maybe struggling with their faith. What do I do? Come hang around. I'm going to give you something to do. Come hang around. We got some stuff. I got a phone call from a, I was just talking to brothers this morning. I got a phone call from a guy from Florida this morning. He's on his way back to Land Harbor. He called me yesterday and said, man, I want to be a part of your church. I said, Lord, really? He's going to a big church up in Boone. Been going there for years. Man, they got the music, and they ain't got a piano player good as Gary, but they got the music. They got the big projection with the show going on. Several services on Sunday. They fill the place up. He said, I've been sitting there for 8 years, and I'm growing cold. I said, that sounds familiar. That sounds like the American church. You got one guy can talk real good, and you got two people. Pretty good, and the rest of you just come set and sweat. If you got give it, you need it. We're getting ready to do a building fund. I've heard it all. That's not what it's about. It's about going. It's about coming. It's about staying. My goodness, if there's 50 people in here. There's five too many. We need to send. Times are short. So I want to pray with you this morning. They has anything on their hearts. The altar is open. If anything, anybody wants prayer, that's what it. Remember that little child thing I talked about. Don't be too proud to come. The Lord's calling you. He's tugging on your heart this morning. Let's settle it. I'll go side by side with you, hand in hand. I sell my business tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I'm going to free up some time. If I ever learn how to finish sheetrock, I should be done by Christmas. Whew. But I'm going to have time, and I'm sincerity. I'm 63 years old. The only thing on my plate right now is Jesus. That's awesome. That's awesome. I got enough money that if I make it to 70, I may still have a dollar left. If that, I'm going to depend on somebody else. You know, I'll be all right. The Lord has met my needs. I serve an awesome God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're amazed. I'm so thankful, Father, that you left heaven. You came to this wicked earth, and you came to people that didn't even want you to come. And you gave your life. At the same time that they were slaughtering the Passover lamb in the temple, your blood was from the cross at the same moment. Father, I can't comprehend it, but I love you and I praise you for that. And I thank you for the gift. I thank you for the anointing that you've placed, the hunger that you've placed on our lives, Father. I thank you for the men that's coming around me, Father, that's joining together with me to reach the world. Oh, Father, I praise you for that. And I praise you for these people. And I praise you for Walnut Grove, Father. But I ask you to speak to us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Speak to us as your children. I, but Father, speak to me. Help me not to get ahead of myself. Help me not to grow up. Help me keep that childlike faith. Help me to understand that whatever I ask and whatever I bring before you, that you have the ability and the willingness to do it, Father. Whatever I'm facing. And whatever my friends and family are facing, Father, that I can pray over them, Father, and I can speak to that situation, Father. And you said, if you'll speak to it, if you'll with the faith the size of a mustard seed, if you'll speak to it, if you'll speak to that mountain, you'll remove it. Father, I want to be in the moving business. I want to be in the excavating business. I want to move mountains, Father, not to bring glory to me, because I'm nothing. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for Brother Kurt. I look forward to his message next Sunday, Father. If there's anyone in this building this morning that needs prayer, Father, I ask that you give them the childlike faith, the childlike courage to come to me, Father, to step forward, to have us anoint them, to have us to pray over them, Father. And if they're not able to do that, actually grow that faith, Father. Grow that courage. Grow that whatever it takes for that to happen, Father. I want to see that in Walnut Grove. Go with us this week, Father. It's Holy Week. Help us to be ever remindful of what takes place. We have a bit more time in prayer, a little bit more time in the Word, a little bit more time in this Holy Week that we spend with you, Father. And we thank you for your gift that we'll never understand how you ever loved me. As Val saying, why me, Lord? Why? I don't get it. Of all people, I thank you, Father. Go with us in Jesus' name. Amen.